It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. And it is a good life serving the Lord. Well, last time in 1 Peter chapter 4, we read verse 1. We went through that verse. And I'd like for us to look at verse 2 now, 1 Peter chapter 4. And it says this, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. We see, this is simply telling us that there's a wrong and a right way to live in this flesh. Do not live for the lust of the flesh, according to the first part of that verse. We are to live for the will of God, and we are to do what God wants us to do as people. The first thing a person has to do in order to live for the will of God is to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. We must receive Him. We must trust Him to take us to heaven. And that's what this verse is teaching. Verse 2, once again, says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. This is speaking to the human being. This is God's plan for every human being on this planet, that we are to live for the will of God and not live for the lusts of the flesh. Well, in verse 3, it goes on to expand on the idea of living for the Lord and not for the flesh. It says there, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Well, let's look at the sins mentioned here in verse 3. First of all, we see the word lasciviousness. This means lewdness. This would be indecent sexual in an offensive way. And then we see the word lusts. This is sexual desire. And this is a strong physical desire to have sex with somebody, usually without associated feelings of love or affection. Then we see the term excess of wine. This would be drunkenness, revelings, lively enjoyment or celebration, usually involving eating, drinking, dancing, and noise. And this is often used in the plural. In other words, all these things taking place at once. Then you see the word banqueting. This, when we see the word banqueting, this once again would refer to drinking or drinking parties. And then abominable idolatries. This is loathsome worship. Extremely excessive admiration or love shown for something or somebody other than God. If you look at all these things are bad. This is something a Christian should stay away from. But as I look around and as I view the world that we live in and the way some of the churches that we view, some of these things are actually going on in churches. You say, what? I've never heard of that. Well, that's good if you're in a church that does none of these things. That is very good. And thank God, I don't go to a church like that. But some people do. You see, the lasciviousness, lewdness, indecency, sexuality in an offensive way is found in many of these areas, in churches and around the world. It comes to mind that this leads up to sexual desire. Well, I understand that there's immodest dress that goes on, and let me remind you that men are aroused sexually by sight. Women are aroused by touch. We've got to be careful with this. Lewdness, lasciviousness, and sexual desire. This is something that some people, as Christians, don't really understand. They think that they're going to be able to dress like the world and that no one's going to pay attention to that. Well, the world does. Human beings do. We as Christians are to dress properly. We're to look like Christians. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to wear a coffee sack or any kind of a burlap sack and be covered like that. I'm saying that we need to be dressed decently, and women are to dress properly, and they are to use the common sense that God gave them to dress, not to arouse the opposite sex, but they are to be in accordance with the will and the Word of God, not to have people desire them sexually, but that a person is able to look at a godly woman and say, that is a godly woman. God bless her for dressing properly and acting properly. Well, you see that in some churches there's drunkenness. There are people who go to church today and the next day they go out and get drunk. Is that person saved? Well, that's not up to me to decide. But it's sad that this goes on in some churches and is actually tolerated. You see this a lot, celebrating. This is lively entertainment or celebration, usually involving eating, drinking, dancing, and noise. It's sad that many of the churches today have replaced a pulpit with a stage, and people simply get up and dance and play the music. There's nothing wrong with music, but I don't care for the dancing part of it. There's nothing wrong with good music, godly music, but they've replaced the pulpit with a stage. They've replaced it with dancing and celebrating. They've taken the Word of God out, and the Word of God is left out. This is totally wrong. And when it comes to music, there is they call it Christian rock. There is no such thing as Christian rock music, just as there's no such thing as Christian adultery or Christian homosexuality. Anything that goes against the Scriptures is wrong. Now, churches today need to get back to celebrating God. They need to get back to celebrating what God has said in His Word. We need to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to get back to the basics, the basic Bible doctrines. Don't let anybody ever convince you that Bible doctrine is not important. We need to give heed to what God has said, and that is Bible doctrine, God's Word. Giving heed to what He has said in His Word, not straying from it, but giving it our complete attention as Christians. Well, the unsaved people of this world will see a difference in Christians' lives and folks when that happens. And I believe when we get things right with God and we look like Christians, act like Christians, and smell like Christians, and be Christian because we are Christians. And I believe revival will come to this country once Christians get things right with God. We'll see a turnaround not only in our government, but we'll see a turnaround in the churches themselves when we take a stand for what is right and serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, that verse 3 says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Well, it means acting like the unsaved, in other words. When we walked, and this is past tense as Christians, we once did this. We once acted like the world. We walk like the world. And it goes on to say, walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. We shouldn't do that as Christians. And then we see in verse 4, it says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. In other words, people will see you differently as a Christian, and they'll think it strange that you're acting differently. In other words, you're not doing the things that we've seen in verse 3. This is the reaction of people when you no longer do the things mentioned in verse 3. And I think you're strange, the people will say. And once again, it's sad that some Christians will think you're strange. And I say Christians we think of as someone who is Christ-like. And certainly those people who name the name of Jesus Christ need to be Christ-like. They shouldn't think of it, they shouldn't think it strange to be Christ-like. If you're living like God, if you're living the way God wants you to live, it doesn't and it shouldn't be strange to a Christian that you are striving to do what God wants you to do. It's one thing for the world to think you're strange, but it's something entirely different when another Christian thinks you're strange. It simply means when someone looks at you that way, it means to me that you're striving to do what's right, what God wants you to do. And that tells me that you're not doing what God wants you to do if you're not living for Him and you're not doing what the Word of God says that you're to do. Well, people also say malicious things about you when you do what's right. They will be deliberately hurtful to you. They'll say things that will hurt you personally, and if you're living for the Lord, you may already have encountered this. Well, if you're doing what God wants you to do as a Christian, you've already probably already encountered some of these hurtful things that people will say to you. Well, I don't need to go on into that because, once again, we need to be Christians, not only in the sense, once again, that we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, but we need to be putting forth that we are Christians. We are to have the testimony of a Christian and not of this world, because those things are past for us, the things of this world. Remember, the things of this world are going to pass away. They're only temporal. Now, I'm not saying that we're not tempted as human beings, as Christians in this life, but we should strive through the Spirit of the Lord to overcome the things of this world that are wrong. Then people will look at us as we're strange. You say, well, that's a no-win situation. Yes, it's a win situation because we're pleasing our Lord and we're living for Him and we're putting forth that good testimony that He wants us to put forth. Well, in verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 4, it goes on to say this: Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Well, let's look at verse 4 with that again. Read it together, verse 4 and 5. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? These people who are judging us, who say that we're doing strange things as Christians, in other words, living for Him, and we're putting forth a good testimony, they're going to give an account to God. Giving an account, the people mentioned in verse 4 will be judged by Christ Himself. Christ is prepared to judge the living and the dead. And of course, the Bible tells us that if a person has not trusted Him as Savior, and that's Jesus, if they have not trusted Him as Savior, they don't have to wait to be judged or condemned because they are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They have not trusted Him as Lord and Savior. Judgment is coming, but those people who have not trusted Him are judged already, right now. And one day, we who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will stand before Him at the judgment seat to receive those things that we have done in our bodies on this earth. We'll suffer loss or we will receive rewards. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to pay for sin because Christ has already done that. I'm not saying that we're going to stand there and give an account of sin that has been in our lives while we've been on this earth. I'm saying that there will be rewards handed out. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know everything about all the rewards that will be given. I simply know the Bible says that we as Christians will stand before the Lord to give an account, and then those people who have never trusted Jesus as Savior, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, all those people who have never trusted Jesus will stand at what's called the Great White Throne. And the Bible goes on to say that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For the unsaved person, it's too late because they've not trusted Him before they've been there at that white throne. If you don't trust Him now, if you don't confess Him now, here, right now, you will one day, it will be too late. Because as you stand at the great white throne judgment, the Bible tells us that only unsaved people will be there to give an account. Won't you trust Him today? Call upon Him. Ask Him to save you before it's too late. God, come into my heart. I know I can't save myself. I'm a sinner. Please save me. I want to turn to You and turn from sin.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.